Okay. This is based in a work with my previous student Ferroli and my present student Ossola. I must apologize because I didn't know about the new value of the top quark. Okay, so some updating, some small updating might be necessary. Now, the general consensus is that the standard model gives a very good description of a multitude of phenomena from atomic energies up to about 100 GeV, which is 10 orders of magnitude in energy. On the other hand, a fundamental pillar of the theory, the Higgs boson, has not been found, and some observables put very sharp constraints on its mass. For instance, it was pointed about 2 years ago that using the 2002 average value for the W boson mass, which at the time was this, in conjunction with the experimental value of entropy until yesterday, and this value of delta alpha H5, namely the contribution of the first five light quarks to the running of alpha at the mz scale, and this value for the strong interaction coupling constant, this led to the prediction that the Higgs boson mass is 23 GeV plus 49 minus 23, with a 95% confidence level of 122 GeV. Now, this is to be compared with the 95% lower bound, which I call MHLB, meaning lower bound, of 114.4 from the direct searches. This was pointed out in a paper with these people in 2002. Now, since then, the situation has changed significantly, and I am not referring to the new value of entropy because we just learned about it, but with the new average value of MW, the same prediction would have led to 45 plus 69 minus 36 with a 95% confidence upper bound of 95% confidence limit upper bound of 184 GeV, which is less restrictive. If this is further, this is further relaxed if combined with the average value of sine square effective. Combining the two things, one could get with the same theoretical formulas this value for MH and this value for the 95% confidence level upper bound, which is not too far from the values derived from the global fit until yesterday, namely this one here and this one there. The fact remains, however, that the central value of MH derived from the experimental value of MW is well below the lower bound from direct searches. In fact, it can be argued that the MW measurement is particularly significant for three reasons. One, it places, as we have seen, sharp restrictions on the Higgs boson mass. Second, the LEP2 and collider measurements are in excellent agreement. And three, the two-loop evaluation of the relevant electroweak correction, delta R, has been recently completed by Avramik and Saxon, Ovchinchenko, and Veretti. I may tell an interesting short story. About a few years ago, there was a meeting at Zeuthen, and I was asked to summarize the meeting. So before the summary, I polled the young people to ask them what are the important problems to be solved. And one of them was the two-loop correction to the muon lifetime in the Fermi local theory. And the other was the two-loop corrections to the muon lifetime in the standard model. And in very few years, the two things have been accomplished. Namely, in about 3 or 4 years, Stewart and Van Rietbergen and Steinhäuser and Seidensticker completed the two-loop corrections to muon lifetime in the Fermi theory, and that took about 40 years after the one-loop correction. And now these guys have completed the two-loop correction to delta R in less than that, in a few years, and that is only 22 years after the one-loop correction was So it seems to me that it might be a good idea at meetings to have somebody polling people and posting these as problems, because this may accelerate the progress of physics. In mathematics, this is well known. You know, the great mathematician Felix Klein once proposed the Erlangen programming, where he pointed out fundamental problems to be solved in mathematics, and this helped the development of mathematics. Maybe we should try this again. Okay. Now, the clash between the predicted Higgs boson mass derived from the experimental values of Nw on n top with the lower bound suggests that it's possible to obtain sharp bounds on Mw on m top by simply comparing the experimental results at various confidence levels with the standard model theoretical function, Mw as a function of m Higgs and m top, taking into account the experimental lower bound. Specifically, we ask the following simple question. Given the present experimental values of Mw on n top, and assuming the validity of the standard model, what are the allowed values for these parameters at various confidence levels, irrespective of other observables, when the lower bound on the Higgs boson mass is taken into account? So, as you can guess, the lower bound restricts the available parameter space, and this leads to bounds on Mw and n top that are significantly sharper than those derived from the experimental measurements, and they are also sharper than the analogous bounds derived in global analysis. This point of view, or this kind of question, conforms with the idea that aside from the global analysis, which are of course very important, it is also important to separately confront the theory with the observables that are most sensitive to MH. The point is that striking discrepancies and inconsistency may be blurred, perhaps, in the global analysis. And this point of view has been expressed by various people like de Grassi et al., Chanowitz, Marciano, myself, and others. Now, a recent analysis with Ferroli and Ossola confronts separately the theory with two couples, Mw and mTop, and sine square effective and mTop. Okay, now this figure, okay, shows the 68% confidence level, 80% confidence level, 90 and 95% confidence levels, domains, derived from the experimental values of Mw and mTop, together with theoretical standard model curves for fixed MH, namely Mw as a function of mTop for fixed MH. This dashed line corresponds to MH 114.4, and we call this the boundary curve. And this other one is 139, this is 180, I think, and this is 229 or so. The allowed region at a given confidence level then lies inside the corresponding ellipse and below the dashed curve. So it is clear that this kind of analysis will lead to a restrictive range of allowed values. Okay, so the theoretical, these particular curves were also calculated using this value of delta alpha H hadronic. Now, to simplify the analysis, we take the restriction MH larger larger than 114.4 GV to be a sharp cutoff. At a given confidence level, the allowed region, as I said before, lies within the corresponding ellipse and below the dashed curve, which we will call the boundary curve. The theoretical formulas here use the following simple formula, where A1 is the logarithm of MH over 100, A2 is delta alpha H5 divided by this value minus 1, A3 it depends on the top quark mass, and A4 depends on the QCD parameter. Now, by adjusting these constants, namely by adjusting Mw0 and Di, this formula reproduces accurately in the range between an MH larger than 20 GB up to 300 GB, the results of calculations carried out in different randomization schemes. We use two versions of the on-shell scheme. We use the mesbaric scheme and another scheme that we call the effective scheme. These calculations, the ones used in those curves, include two-loop effects enhanced by powers m top square over mw square to the first and second powers. Now, the effective scheme is a recently proposed framework in which sine square effective let, which I will abbreviate as sine square effective, namely the parameter employed by the electroweak working group to parameterize physics at the Zinot resonance. In this scheme, this parameter plays the role of the fundamental electroweak mixing parameter. This scheme shares the good convergence properties of the MS-bar scheme, but it eliminates the residual scale dependence of the MS-bar framework in finite orders of perturbation theory. So this is a scheme that has been discussed since around 2001 and 2003. So it's numerically very similar to the MS-bar scheme, but eliminates the residual scale dependence in finite orders of perturbation theory. Now, going back to the figure I showed, you will notice that the boundary curve barely misses intersecting the 68% confidence level ellipse. So strictly speaking, in this analysis, that domain is forbidden. Now, to good approximation, if you look at the curves, the maximum and minimum MW and mTOP value in a given allowed region are given by the intersections of the boundary curve with the corresponding ellipse. Okay, this table here shows the allowed regions determined in that manner, in the manner I just described, using this particular value of delta H5 0.2761. So as I told you, 68% confidence level domain is excluded, and the 80% confidence level domain, by looking at the intersection with the boundary curve, the MW mass gets restricted to this value, the top mass gets restricted to this, and so forth. This is the same, this table 2 is the same analysis as above, but using another value for delta, delta H5, 0.02747, which is one of the theory-driven calculations due to Indurain and Troconis. In this case, with this other value of delta alpha, the 68% confidence level domain is barely compatible with the lower N Higgs bound, but barely so, it's really marginal. Okay, now one question I should clarify is that in the above figure and in the tables, delta H5 was fixed at 0.02761. If it is allowed to vary according to the error, this is, by the way, the determination of delta alpha H5 due to Berker and Petrisic. If it is allowed to vary within the errors, the analysis is more involved. It requires a chi-square analysis, but we find that MW and mTOP ranges in table 1 are at most affected by minor shifts. As I mentioned before, table 2 presents the corresponding values with this value of delta, different value of delta alpha H5. In this case, as I mentioned, using the effective scheme calculation, we find a very narrow window of compatibility with 68% confidence level domain. Now, The allowed ranges are the following. The length, the total length of the allowed ranges in this case, in the case of table 2 corresponding to this value, at 68% confidence level, amount to a range of 12 MeV in the mass of the W and 2 GeV in the mass of the top. And if you compare this with what you would get from the directly from the experimental values, this amount to reductions of factors of 5.7 and 5.1, as I said, relative to the intervals derived from the experimental values. On the other hand, for the 80%, 90%, and 95% confidence level domains, the allowed MW and top intervals are very similar to those in table 1. Now, tables 3 and 4, which I will not show to economize time, table 3 and 4 repeat the analysis using the standard model theoretical formulas in a new paper by Abromick, Sakon, Freitas, and Weidlin. They are based on a complete two-loop calculation of delta R in the on-shell scheme by Abromick, Sakon, Onyshenko, and Beretin. The 68% confidence level domain is again not compatible with the standard model curve subject to the lower bound Higgs boson restriction. And now this occurs for both delta alpha H5 determinations. You see, when we use our expressions, one of the cases was barely compatible, but in this case, the 68% confidence level is excluded for both delta alpha H5 determinations. Now, in the 80%, 90%, and 95% confidence level domains, the allowed MW and top values are similar to ones we obtained with our formula, but they are somewhat more restrictive. In particular, the minimum MW values are nearly the same as when we use our formulas, but the maximum ones are from 10 to 7 MeVs smaller. As an example, the allowed 80% confidence level intervals for this value of delta alpha H, using the formulas of this gentleman, have a length of 24 MeV for MW and 4 GeV for MTOP, which are reduced by factors of 3.6 and 3.3 relative to those derived directly from the experimental values. Now, figure 5, table 5, sorry, which I will show. Table 5 shows the midpoints of the allowed MW and MTOP ranges that I showed before in table 2, namely the calculation with effective scheme with delta alpha H5 equals 0.02747. So this shows the intervals as a midpoint plus or minus a variation that covers the full interval here. Okay, this would be the allowed MW values, and this would be the allowed MTOP values, expressed as a midpoint plus a variation that covers the full interval. So the allowed ranges are this and this. You will notice that to very good approximation, the midpoints are independent of the confidence level used in selecting the allowed regions. You see the midpoints here are all the same. The midpoints here for the top quark mass are exactly the same. They are independent of the confidence level employed in constructing the allowed regions. Okay. So the midpoints are for the W boson mass is 80.402 and for the top mass 177.7. And they involve a variation from the present MW and mTop values, namely the ones as of yesterday, of minus 0.71 sigma MW and plus 0.67 sigma mTop. The midpoints in the other tables 1, 3, and 4 are also independent of the confidence level and are given by these values. For the W is 84.01, for the top is 177.9, in this other determination is 83.97 and 178.3, this one is 83.98 and 178.1. And they are, to very good approximation, independence of the confidence levels. The largest shifts occur for table 3, which is the calculation of Abramovic with this value of delta alpha and are minus 0.85 standard deviations for the W and plus 0.78 standard deviations for the top. Now, the theoretical formulas used in the analysis are of course affected by errors due to the truncation of the perturbative series and QCD errors. So what is the effect of such errors in the determination of the allowed ranges? As an illustration, using the estimated theoretical errors of Ferroli et al., we find that the 90% confidence level ranges in table 1 have this length, 60 plus or minus 5. This is the effect of the theoretical errors, and delta m top would be 9.5 plus 0.8 minus 0.9 GeV. Using the estimated theoretical errors of Abramovic et al., we find that the 90% confidence level intervals in table 3 have a length 53 plus 3 minus 4 MeV and delta mTop 8.8 plus 0.6 minus 0.8 GeV. Thus, in this 90% confidence level illustration, the effect of the theoretical errors is to change the size, the total length of the allowed intervals by less than 10%. These modifications are significantly smaller than the experimental errors of 15 MeV and 2 GeV for the top expected at the Tevatron LHC. Now, in the case of sine square effective and mTop, we distinguish two possibilities. In one case, we use the well average of sine square effective, and in the other case, we use the average determined from the leptonic observable, which is this. And the difference reflects the well-known dichotomy between the leptonic and hadronic determinations that have been discussed before. On the theoretical side, we employed the relevant electroweak correction, which is delta R effective, discussed in these papers. Unlike delta R, it has not been fully evaluated at the two-loop level. So we employed this simple formula where the constants are adjusted to correspond to the effective scheme of renormalization. Now, in the case in which we use the well average value, it turns out that the central points are well within the allowed region, and therefore there is not much reduction in parameter space. There is not much reduction in parameter space, so it's not particularly interesting to discuss it. This is the case where we use the well average value for sine square effective. You see the central values are well, are inside the allowed regions. This is the boundary curve, so the allowed region lies within each ellipse and above the boundary curve, so there is not no major reduction. So instead we go to the other case when we use sine square effective LEP, and we have this situation. Now the allowed region is above this boundary curve, and here there are again sharp constraints. So we have some tables showing that, but for questions of time, I will not discuss them in greater detail. The point is that there is again a sharp reduction in the allowed values, which are detailed in the paper. Now, let me now briefly discuss a benchmark scenario. The allowed MW on top sine square effective domains may be regarded as theoretically favored in the standard model framework when the lower bound on the Higgs boson is taken into account irrespective of other observables. If the standard model is correct, the central experimental values should approach the allowed regions as errors decrease. The precise endpoint of the trajectory is, of course, not known. On the other hand, the midpoints of the allowed region provide natural representative examples. The fact that they're independent of the confidence level makes them particularly attractive benchmarks. We therefore consider, as an illustration of possible future developments, a hypothetical scenario in which the experimental central points move to the midpoints of the current allowed regions. This requires a shift of minus 0.071 to minus 0.085 sigma MW in the central value of MW and plus 0.067 plus 0.078 sigma mtop in the value, experimental central value of mtop, of course. With any value, there is almost no shift. Now, a similar shift in MW occurred recently. The shift from this value to this value represented minus 0.076 sigma W. Also, the most precise MW measurement, the left value, is closer to the average than the midpoints. And finally, this preliminary value has suggested that mTOP experimental may increase in the near future. It has already increased. Now, assuming that H remains undiscovered, what would be the predictions in such hypothetical scenario? Assuming an error of NW15 MeV and on mTOP of 2 GeV, and this value of alpha, we would find these predictions. MH114 like this, with a 95% confidence level of this type. And this is using the same thing using the Abramic et al. Formulas. So they are practically the same predictions. And similarly, we may consider a hypothetical scenario in which the leptonic determination of sine square effective and mTOP move to the midpoints of the presently allowed regions, assuming this error for mTOP and an error for sine square effective, which is very small as projected for giga z, these inputs will lead to this formula, to this value here. Now, it is interesting to compare this with what would happen if the central values remain as they are, while the errors decrease to 15 MeV and to 2 GeV and to 10 to the minus 5. Assuming that the central values remain the same as they were yesterday, the predictions would be like this, which clearly, these estimates would be in sharp disagreement with the lower bound. So here I give my conclusions. Assuming that the standard model is correct and taking into account the lower bound on the Higgs boson mass comparison with the current experimental values of NWM top and sine square effective derived from the electronic observables with a theory at value CL leads to sharp bounds on these parameters irrespective of other observables. Compatibility with the 68% confidence level regions only occurring one of the alternatives we have considered and is marginal. In the experimental 80% confidence level domain, the current allowed regions range from 80.402 plus or minus 0.020 and mTOP 177.7 plus or minus 3.1 to MW 80, etc. to this, depending on the value of delta alpha H5 and on the theoretical expressions. It's interesting that the central values in this benchmark scenario seem to coincide with the new value of mTOP. In the sine square effective leptonic mTOP analysis, 80% confidence level allowed intervals will be these ones here. And my last transparency is the following. As an illustration of possible or plausible future evolution of experimental results under the assumption that the standard model is correct. We have considered a hypothetical scenario involving shifts of less than one sigma in the central values of NW on top and sine square effective left. As the accuracy increases, it will be very interesting to see whether the central values approach the allowed regions, prefer that the standard model remain where they are, or move in the opposite direction. In the last two cases, a sharp disagreement with the standard model would emerge, thus providing strong evidence for new physics. So that's it.